Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
So I imagine many of us grew up being taught quite the opposite of what that song says. Many of us grew up with the idea that we are somehow born of what some churches call original sin, which has its roots in the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the serpent tempted Eve, who tempted Adam, who ate the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, we're all born sinners. You must be baptized to be cleansed of your sins. And even after being baptized, you must continue throughout your life to beg for mercy. And the problem, if you grew up in any of these faith traditions, the question every child had, that we never received a good answer to, what about the babies, right? What about the babies, Mom, that happened to die before they were baptized? Well, they go to this limbo land. It's not heaven, it's not hell, but they're there forever. None of this makes any sense, right? Yeah. And look at all the bad that has come from it for who knows how long. We are forever guilty in paying the price for sins we did not commit. Many people, millions and millions of people throughout the ages, are filled with self-loathing and unworthiness for this sin that some metaphorical character committed ages ago. And women are the problem, therefore they must be oppressed and controlled. Constant fear of hell and damnation, and legitimizing hate and fear of others who sin and therefore might tempt us into sin. And for those who can't see me, I'm using air quotes around sin. Okay. Well, this week we want to clear all this up. Clear up this whole issue of sin and salvation and replace it with the law of cause and effect, which is what we teach around here. So first, starting with there is no sin and there is no evil force trying to make you sin. Okay. Old time religion would have you believe that sin is an offense against God, an offense, or at the very least, offense against the church's rules. And then if you do this, you are forever outside God's love. You are somehow placed outside that circle of love. You are somehow estranged from God's love. And you must beg forgiveness. And in some religions, there's a certain class of people who can help you with that. You're intermediary between yourself and God. Well, here's the thing. The true meaning of the word sin, the word that's translated as sin from the Hebrew word, actually means missing the mark. It's an archery term. You've missed your mark. You've not quite hit your target. In other words, it's a mistake, or we can do better, right? That's the real meaning of sin, is missing the mark. But here is the Center for Spiritual Living, and all of our Centers for Spiritual Living, where we teach science of mind, I'm going to clear all this up. First of all, You cannot ever be placed outside of God's love. We talked about that last week. Because just like all parents, you don't stop loving your children just because they make a mistake. And let me be very clear. I'm sure you all know, but I love Back to Basics because I get to remind myself, and it's my pleasure to remind you, you are not a born sinner. You are not born a sinner. You are not of original sin. You are not born bad. Quite the opposite. You are born good and whole. And we will never, ever, ever tell any child that they are born bad. Enough with that. So, back to the story of Adam and Eve then. What does it really mean? Well, what it really means, as you might recall, it's the tree of knowledge of good and bad. So what it really means is this was when humans were endowed with this knowledge of good and bad. In other words, dual choice. God made us free to choose what is good for us or to choose what is not so good for us. We are at choice. And you might say, well, why is that? Why can't we just have all the good stuff like it was before we got this knowledge? Well, because we are not born robots. We are born free, and freedom is meaningless if we don't have choice. So we have choice. Now, the idea of evil. We probably already know if you're hanging out here, there is no devil, there is no evil force in the world trying to bring us down. Evil itself is not a thing in and of itself, just like darkness is not a thing in and of itself. It is the absence of light. Evil is not a thing in and of itself. It is the absence of good. And it is the absence of good brought about by those choices that we make. The misuse of our freedom, the law of freedom. So I often say there's no big E evil, there's only little e evil. Okay. And little e evil is from our poor choices. It's written in the Talmud, not God, but ye yourselves are the creators and supporters of moral evil. Or as Ernest Holmes put it, there is no sin but a mistake and no punishment but a consequence. So everything we experience that we might label as evil is just paying the prices for our poor decisions. We are not punished by our mistakes. We do pay consequences for our mistakes. And if you think about it, an evil force, as in an evil, actual evil force that's driven by the devil, would mean that God itself or the universe itself somehow has a duality in it. And if this were true, if the universe had a force for good, God, and a force for evil, big E evil, that's the devil, the universe could not stand. For a house divided cannot stand. Now, we here in Science of Mind, we don't deny that things we label evil exist in the sense that we experience them. Humans do experience sickness, poverty, injustice, unhappiness. We don't deny that these things exist. They are very real. We do experience these things. We do deny that they must exist, that God intends us to have these experiences, and that they are somehow an ultimate reality. We also don't refuse to aid those who are having these experiences, but we absolutely refuse to believe that it is their destiny or that God is somehow punishing or testing them. Ernest Holmes wrote, the age-long discussion of the problem of evil will never be answered until we realize that evil is not a thing of itself. It is simply the misuse of the law of freedom. The problem of evil will be met only to the degree that we cease doing evil and do good. For evil will disappear when we no longer indulge in it. When the whole world sees the right and does it, then and not until then will the problem of evil be solved for the entire human race. And the last point about this, no sin, no evil, is you don't need saving. No. Okay? You do not need to be saved. The only, at least not by a savior, not by other people. The only saving any of us ever need is to correct our mistakes and make better choices, which I'll be talking more about in a moment. But again, from the Talmud, pray not that the sinners may perish, but that the sin or mistake itself may disappear. And again, from our founder, Ernest Holmes, we need not fear either God or the devil. There is no devil, and God is love. When we make mistakes, we suffer the consequences. When by reason of enlightenment and understanding we correct such mistakes, we no longer suffer from them. Understanding alone constitutes true salvation, either here or hereafter. So what do we need to understand to save ourselves? This law of cause and effect. We have the power to create our lives. And we have that power because we are made in the image of the divine. Just as God, the one spirit, whatever you want to call it, is the creator of all, and we are made in its image, we too have the power to create, which is represented by our teaching symbol, which hopefully many of you can see and those online can see is on this symbol that's here every day on our platform. The symbol in the middle, that's a circle with the V in it. This is the co-creative process. So let me spend a moment about it because it does reflect this law of cause and effect. So there's three levels. The top level represents our consciousness, our mind, our spirit, where we have our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. The middle level, which in this symbol is, you can't see the second line because it's at the where the water meets the sky, but there's a second line there that creates a middle section. That is what we call the law or the creative medium. And then the lower level is the body or the world of effects. So we have the top level, which is our mind, our consciousness, cause. We have the middle level where the law acts on it. And then we have the lower level, which is what we experience in life. All three of these are unity, which is why they're inside a circle, because they're three in one. And the circles, as close as our human abilities can get to representing an infinite. Because we don't know how to depict graphically an infinite. So there's a circle. And from our declaration of principles in Science of Mind, we have this. We believe that the universal spirit, which is God, operates through a universal mind, which is the law of God, and that we are surrounded by this creative mind, which receives the direct impress of our thoughts and acts upon it. The universal spirit, God, is the top. That's true for ourself as well. The law is in the middle, and then that law responds to us. And we also hear a lot in this teaching that is done unto us as we believe. Well, the we believe is getting towards that consciousness, the cause, which is at the top level of this teaching symbol. Ernest Holmes wrote in The Science of Mind, this may be my favorite sentence in that whole book, life always becomes to us the particular thing we need when we believe that it becomes to us that particular thing. Life always becomes to us the particular thing we need when we believe that it becomes to us that particular thing. So in other words, the law, which is that middle part, takes what's going on in our consciousness, our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs, and the law responds by corresponding to what's going on in our consciousness, and then that's what we experience in life. And a thing to remember about consciousness is we have our conscious awareness, those things that we know are going on in our mind, and then there's the larger part of the subconscious, which is where a lot of our thoughts are that we're not even aware of, and a lot of the false beliefs that we have are in the subconscious. All of this is at work in our lives, such that if we believe we are small, weak, and poor, we are right. If we believe that we are large, powerful, and prosperous, we are right. In fact, this law works so well that even if we don't believe in it, it works for us. If you don't believe it will work for you, or if you don't believe you can manifest, then you are right. Now, some of you might be asking, why do we call it a law? Some of you know I used to be an attorney, but I don't think that's the kind of law we're talking about. We're talking more like the laws of physics or the law of mathematics. It's called law because it works the same way all the time for everyone. Right? And it's called the law because it has no choice. It must act for us. It's the servant to our consciousness. It's the doer, not the thinker. It works for everyone the same, just like gravity does. Just like all the laws of electricity. Just like the law of mathematics. And now, so why is this a positive spirituality? Which is our overarching theme for the month. It's a positive spirituality because this process, this law of cause and effect, this creative process means past is not precedent. We are not stuck by what we've done before. Just as the song says, we are not our past mistakes. We are not our family's mistakes. We are not our parents' mistakes. I'm not the mistakes I made this morning before I even got here. It's a positive spirituality because we can always learn, we can always grow and evolve and uplift our consciousness, we can always make better choices, and we can always improve our lives no matter what. As Emerson said, our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising up every time we fail. Or from the Bhagavad Gita, I destroy the ignorance-born darkness by the shining lamp of wisdom. We can learn, we can become wiser, and begin anew. This process is always available to us to make our lives better, to get closer and closer to what we are here for and that wonderful life that we all want. Even if your life is already wonderful, it can be more wonderful. There's no end to it. It's infinite. Good. And a word about forgiveness. Forgiveness is essential to clear out those past mistakes from our consciousness so they're no longer at work. Forgiveness of ourselves and others. Because if we have that anger and resentment, it's really hard to manifest peace or abundance or anything else we want or beauty. So forgiveness is key. Another thing to remember, so we're not too hard on ourselves or too hard on other people, some lessons, some decisions are just a little harder than others. What's difficult for me, those false beliefs that I have that might take me some time to heal, might be different than the difficulties you experience, and vice versa. After all of us are individuals, all of us got here on a different path. we are affected not only by our own consciousness, but growing up and just living in the world, we're affected by the consciousness of our family and our friends and our society, that race consciousness. We are affected by all that. That does not mean we can't correct our consciousness. We can, and we do. We always can. And by the way, if you're feeling like you've been working on something for a long time, you're not quite getting there, I encourage you to work with a practitioner. Working with a practitioner is one of the most powerful things I've ever done in my life. And believe me, there were some false beliefs I had that took a long time to fully correct. And every once in a while, it still pops up a little bit, but I know what to do. So work with a practitioner if you need assistance with this. So this is the law of cause and effect. How do we use it? How do we access this? How do we make it beneficial in our lives? Through affirmative prayer. Again, from the Talmud, sin is an obstruction in the heart, an inability to feel and comprehend all that is noble, true, and great, and to take part in the good. Affirmative prayer helps us clear that obstruction so we can reconnect with what is noble and right and true and good. Affirmative prayer helps us work with our consciousness, the part we're aware of, and the subconscious. It helps us know what we're feeding into the law, which, by the way, is why we have the V in the middle of this symbol, because our consciousness drops down into the law, and then it comes out at the bottom of the process, but at the other end of the process is our effect. So that's the V. But prayer helps us work with what we put into the law that creates our life. You know, by the way, another way to look at this and how we teach our children is the top is the seed, the middle is the soil, and the bottom is the plant. You know, Emerson said, once you make a decision, the universe conspires to make it happen. That's what affirmative prayer helps us with, makes that solid decision what we want for our lives, what we are calling in and knowing for our lives. So in a minute, I'm going to go over the 5 steps of affirmative prayer. Well, actually, I'll start that now. The first step is recognition. Recognizing the one divine presence in the world, the source of all good, that it is all pervasive as everywhere present. Second step is unification. Knowing our absolute connection with it, we are never separated from it. These 2 steps, I believe, are beautifully spoken to in the Raja Yoga philosophy, where it's written, the origin of pain can be traced to ignorance, and it will not cease until ignorance is entirely dispelled, which will be only when the identity of the self with Brahma is fully realized. That's what the first 2 steps of prayer are doing. Fully realizing that our self, our Atman, our inner God self, is always fully connected with the one life. So that's the first 2 steps. The 3rd step is acceptance. Knowing and accepting our good, bringing us closer and closer to those divine qualities of beauty and wisdom and love and peace and abundance. Step 4 is gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you for this thing realized in my life. Step 5 is release. We're releasing it to the law. We teach affirmative prayer here in Science of Mind as a center for spiritual living because it's been proven over and over that this is a very effective way to use this law of cause and effect in our lives to improve our lives. So there we have it. No sin, no devil, no evil force, only the law of cause and effect, which we can use wisely through affirmative prayer, a positive spirituality to change our lives for good.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And if you want to learn more about this creative process, we're always having classes that teach this stuff in workshops. So now's the time in our service when we move into prayer. And today, I invite everyone who would like to stand in prayer today as we say a prayer for all of those in the Los Angeles area affected by the fires. So please join me in knowing this truth for them. We have three centers for spiritual living who are in that area that are at least on close watch. We know we have members of our communities there that have lost their homes, children have lost their schools, many people are displaced due to evacuation. So it is them that we hold in our prayers as we begin. There is only one life. That life is God's life. It is the seen and the unseen, the known and the unknown. It is the good, the very good, the very, very good. It is the one source. It is that all-pervading love that felt such an overwhelming sense and feeling of love that it said to itself, I must create, I must express this love. And it created, and it created everything that has ever been, is now, or ever will be. It is constantly creating, constantly renewing itself everywhere, all the time. We know this lesson when we just look at the cosmos. Stars die and give life to new creation. New stars are born, new galaxies, and they die and give new life. Always creation, always this one love expressing itself as peace and harmony and caring and compassion. And I know this one life is my life. It is the life of everyone within the sound of my voice. It is the life of everyone joining me in this prayer. It is the life of everyone in the Los Angeles area that is affected by these fires. All those we know who are affected or may be affected. I know that God is at work in that area, in the LA area. It is at work in the firefighters and the first responders. It is at work in all the neighbors looking out for their neighbors. It is at work in all the spiritual leaders who have opened their houses of worship for their neighbors, for their community members, even for total strangers. It is at work in all the civic organizations and all the volunteers that have come together to say, how can I be of service? What do you need? It is at work in the hearts and minds of all the people. It is at work in the hearts and minds of the civic leaders and the political leaders doing their best to say, what do we need and how can we provide it? It is at work in the hearts and minds of the very people affected by this, that inner peace, that inner guidance. And I know and declare and affirm for them that everything they need is provided to feel secure, to know their wholeness, that they are loved. They are cared for. They are provided for. All this love and compassion that is freely flowing through this area. All the children knowing they are supported, that they have loving arms to hold them at night. And all the parents and guardians and grandparents knowing that they are the strength they need to be for those children. All of it is good in action, and I know it is there in its fullness. So having declared this good, I simply give my thanks for it. Deep, deep gratitude for that love in action. And with gratitude and knowing in faith, I return this prayer. I turn it over. I surrender it to that loving law where it is already done in the heart and mind of the Spirit. So therefore, it is done. And if you'd like, you can join me in saying, and so it is. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.